John chapter 3 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus." Now, I'm not going to mention much about the account here. I'm just going to read it and you kind of let it stick in your mind, okay? And you're familiar with it anyway, I believe, most of you. Verse 2, "The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him." Notice here, this is Jesus talking, Nicodemus talking to Jesus by night, came to him. Nicodemus, don't miss who he was. That's important as we go through these thoughts today, that he was a Pharisee. And we know who those were. Verse 3, "Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old?" Boy, that's a good question, ain't it? "Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" We know the answer to that already. Amen. That wasn't what Jesus was talking about. Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto you, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel?" Referring back to the fact he's a Pharisee. He's a leader. He knew the law. He knew the spiritual things, was supposed to anyway. "And knowest not these things." Verse 11, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness," notice the verse, "even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." I want you to notice back with me verse 14, which is kind of our text verse, if you will, to start off this morning. It says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for all that you've done. Thank you for allowing us to be in your house this morning. Thank you for the services and the great time we've had thus far, dear Lord, around your word. Dear Lord, fellowshipping together. Dear Lord, looking into your word. Dear Lord, hearing the song sung. And dear Lord, just the great services today. And dear Father, as we open up your word now once more and look into the resurrection, dear Lord, and look at the things that you said, dear Lord, especially to Nicodemus this morning, I pray that you'd give us understanding, that you'd speak to our hearts. I pray that your Holy Spirit, for those of us that are saved, that you would encourage us, you would strengthen us. And dear Father, I pray that if we need conviction, that you would convict us, dear Lord, and help us this morning to feel a touch from you, dear Father, that we might take and serve you better. And dear Father, if there's one here that doesn't truly know you as Savior, I pray that today might be the day on this Resurrection Sunday that they get saved and accept you. In Jesus' name, amen. We see here in verse number 14, a familiar verse of Scripture, as Jesus is talking here again, remember, to Nicodemus the Pharisee, the one that's the master, if you will, of Israel, as he said in verse 10, one that knows the law, that's a master of the law, a religious leader that knew the things of the history of Israel. We're not going to take the time this morning because I think most of y'all are familiar with it, and for the sake of time, but if you want to look back later to Numbers 21, verses 5 through 9 especially, but it talks about, and there is the account of what took place in the Old Testament that Jesus is reminding Nicodemus of here. Nicodemus knew about that event, I have no doubt about it, and that's why Jesus was using it here when he was talking to him, reminding him about the time where those serpents came into the camp and they were biting people, and people were dying from what was taking place there, the plague the Lord had sent, if you will, and how the Lord had told Moses to take and to make that brazen serpent, we know, put it up on a pole, right? And anybody that would look at that serpent on that pole, there was no magic in that. Later on, we know Israel took and they began to worship that thing. And of course, it wound up, the Lord got one of his men to destroy it. I can't remember which one destroyed it at this point, but they wound up destroying it later because they worshiped that thing. But it wasn't the fact there was any power in that. It was just simply that God said, look on to this, he said, and you'll live. Amen. And so he's reminding them here of that, the way they lifted up that serpent in the wilderness. He said, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And you think about simply this morning what the Lord has laid on my heart this morning, as you think about here that he is, as he's talking to Nicodemus, he's reminding him of how they lift up that serpent there on that pole in the wilderness, an uninhabited area, an area that was wild, if you will, hence the name wilderness. He reminds him that also the Son of Man must be lifted up. And that the only way that a person could be born again, the only way that a person could be saved, is if the Son of Man, in other words, the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, we know that's who the Son of Man was, so that if He was lifted up, if He went to the cross of Calvary, that if He died, if He shed His blood, if He rose again, amen, if He was lifted up, that that is the only way that a person could be born again. That's the only way, if He was lifted up. And you think about that simply this morning. There's three simple points I want to bring this morning. The Lord's laid on my heart is the first one is to see three simple ways, if you will, three simple ways of the Lord being lifted up. Three simple ways of the Lord being lifted up, or if you want to put this title on it, will you raise Him up? Will you raise Him up this morning? You think about, first off, when we see this verse, notice the wording, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. I think about when I see this verse this morning, it reminds me of the Lord Jesus Christ being lifted up on the cross of Calvary. When I see this, it reminds me of the Lord Jesus being lifted up on the cross of Calvary. One reason why is because it says there, as the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness. Amen. Because when I see that, it reminds me of how the Lord Jesus Christ, when He was nailed there to that cross on Calvary's hill, He was lifted up between heaven and earth. Amen. He was lifted up in the wilderness, if you will, of this world, of this earth, for me and for you. Why? As John 3:16 said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that we just read the verse there a second ago, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ was lifted up first this morning on that cross of Calvary. Lifted up in the wilderness of this earth. And died, lived in the wilderness of this earth for those 33 and a half years, and eventually lifted up on that cross in the wilderness of this world so that you and I might be saved. He did that because of His great love for us. He was lifted up on the cross. May I say simply this morning before we move on to the next point, He was simply lifted up on that cross for us. Amen. He was lifted up on that cross for me and for you. But turn with me to another verse of Scripture, John chapter number 12. John chapter number 12 and verse number 32. John 12 and verse number 32, and we'll see the second point this morning. John 12 and verse number 32. So we see first He was lifted up on the cross. He was lifted up on the cross. As John 3 there in verse number 14, I believe, was referring to. And now in John 12 and verse number 32, notice the wording very closely. It says, and I, Jesus here talking, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Pretty much the same thing, but a little bit different. Look at it again. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Secondly, this morning, I've heard these verses used many times that we're going to talk about this morning. I've heard them many times used. I've heard them many times mentioned. And I've used them many times when talking to people, especially this verse right here, because of the fact that it says, "We'll draw who? All men unto me." And using and talking to people, like we even talked about a little bit Wednesday night, that believe that the Lord doesn't draw all men to Him. In other words, that the Lord doesn't convict every soul of the fact that they are a lost sinner and that they need to be saved. In other words, that God doesn't give everybody a chance to be saved. Only certain ones, only the elect, does God give a chance to be saved. No, God gives a chance for everybody to be saved. Amen. As we talked about a good bit in detail Wednesday night. But you think here in this verse, there's more than just that. He said, "If I be lifted up from the earth." We talked about, first off, that He was lifted up on the cross, but I believe, secondly, this morning, not only was He lifted up on the cross, but He was lifted up, as the verse says, from the earth. In other words, not only was He lifted up from the cross, but He was lifted up from the earth or from the tomb. Amen? He was lifted up from the tomb. And if you want to try to keep the C's going this morning, instead of saying tomb there, He was lifted up from the catacomb. In other words, He was lifted up from the catacomb or the crypt. Amen? He was lifted up from the dead. Amen? You think about the fact today that Jesus Christ rose out of that tomb. Amen? On Easter Sunday. That's what we're celebrating today. You say, how do you get that out of this verse? Because this verse looks so similar to the other one. Because notice what the phrase says, "And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." Because it says, "from the earth." Notice that phrase. Because you think about the pictures that we have a lot of times nowadays, and I understand they're just to make a point, and I'm not going to get into being critical about that this morning. But you think about the pictures that we see a lot of times in our little materials or different things at some point that shows the tomb of the Lord Jesus Christ is not at all what the tomb looks like. You take and you look up the tombs that they had back in that time. It was not something above ground. It was not something that was out in the middle of a field and there's a big tomb, a rock, or something like even we do tombs today that had a stone rolled in front of it. That's not what their tombs were. That's not the way it... That's why I say this morning, if you want to take and Google and look up, you know, Jesus' tomb, you'll see that the pictures that we see most of the time in our little drawings and stuff, that's not what it looked like at all whatsoever. A tomb usually back then... And well, I'm getting ready to show you some scripture that shows this, that backs this up here in a minute. But you think about the tombs back then, they were hewn out of rocks or caves or stones in the earth, if you will, a lot of times. It wasn't just out in the middle of the field and there's a tomb that somebody's made or put together, if you will, the way that it looks. And that's why it's so important when you see this verse to think about the fact that He was actually lifted up from the earth. Amen? When we take and we plant, I guess you could use that word, when we lay somebody's body in a grave today, amen, where do we plant them where? I don't went and said plant. Where do we plant them at? In the earth, amen, in the ground, amen. And one day, as has been sung about several times this morning, that one day going to be lifted up out of that earth, out of that ground on that resurrection morning, amen. And you think about, and I think about today, you know, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. He wasn't planted in the dirt in the ground, but in the tomb that was in a rock that was under the earth, in the ground, if you will. You think about, He was lifted up from the earth this morning, if you will. I know that's not the way we usually think about this verse. Most of the time I've ever heard it mentioned or talked about, it's not talking about resurrection and Jesus being lifted up from the grave, but instead Him being lifted up from the cross, lifted up on the cross, between heaven and earth. But I think you can look at it either way today because of the words "from the earth" that's used. Because of the fact that Jesus was, yes, lifted up between heaven and earth on the cross, but He was also lifted up from the earth in the fact that He was buried in a borrowed tomb. Amen. A tomb that was not His own. Amen. A tomb that has someone, Joseph, amen, of Arimathea, took and let Him use that brand new tomb. And He borrowed that tomb just for a little while. Amen. Didn't need a permanent one because He was going to come out of there. Amen. He just borrowed that tomb, if you will. Turn with me to a verse of Scripture, Matthew chapter number 12, that'll help illustrate why I say here that not only was He lifted up from the cross, but from the earth. That we can look and see that when the Bible says He was lifted up from the earth, that's not just talking about the cross of Calvary, but He had to take and, yes, die on the cross. Amen? But if he was going to draw all men to him, if there was going to be salvation, if he just died on the cross and never came up from the earth on that Easter, on that resurrection Sunday, could we be saved today? No. Not only did he have to be lifted up on the cross, but he had to be lifted up from the earth. He had to be lifted up from the earth today for you and I to be saved. For all men to be drew to him, he had to be lifted up from the earth. Matthew chapter number 12 and verse number 40. Notice the word in here real closely. Matthew 12, 40. The Bible says, "For as Jonas," referring back to Jonah, we know, right? Jonah in the whale, "was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly." Notice the phrase, "so shall the Son of Man." We saw that used when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, right? The Son of Man, that phrase was used. Here Jesus says, "so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in" what? "The heart of the earth." You think about simply today of the fact that he was buried in that tomb that was, if you will, and he had to be lifted up from the earth. Matthew chapter 27, turn with me there. Here's another verse that illustrates the point we're trying to make here of how the lifted up from the earth is more than just talking about this morning of Jesus being there on the cross. It's also saying that he had to be lifted up from that tomb if he was going to draw all men unto him. Matthew 27 and verse number 60. Matthew 27, 60. And the Bible says, we read this earlier this morning, one of y'all did, and verse 60 in chapter 27, "and laid it in his own new tomb." Notice this, "which he had hewn out in the rock." And you see the picture, you Google it, look it up, and you'll see a picture of this. "He had hewn out in the rock, and he rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher and departed." So you see here again, pointing out the fact that Jesus had to be lifted up not just on the cross from the earth, but Jesus had to be lifted up from the earth also when it comes to the fact of being lifted up from the tomb if all men were to be drew to him today. Amen. Without the cross, there's no salvation. Without the resurrection, there's no salvation. Amen. He had to rise again out of that grave for you and for me. So I'm glad today to know that he simply was lifted up from the tomb, from that earth, from the tomb, so that we might be drawn to him by his Holy Spirit and be saved. Amen. I'm glad today to know that he was lifted up on the cross, number one, and he was lifted up from the tomb by the Lord Jesus Christ. You think about what a powerful thing that is if our Lord was lifted up not once but twice. Lifted up on the cross and lifted up from that tomb by his Father's power. And the thing I find amazing is the fact that he told them before he ever rose from the grave that he was going to die and that he would rise again. Amen. He told his disciples that many times. He told others that many times. He even told the religious crowd that at one point, didn't he? He said, "You tear down the temple in 3 days." He said, "I'll rise it up again." Amen. You think about it. He told them time and time again, even though they didn't understand and didn't believe. And he rose up from that tomb, from that earth, if you will, there that third day, that Easter morning. But turn with me to another verse of Scripture. Luke chapter number 14. And we'll see the last point this morning. Luke chapter number 14. Luke 14. He was lifted up on the cross. He was, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. But we saw in John 12, 32 that he not only should be lifted up on the cross, but he had to be lifted up from the earth so that he could draw all men unto himself. And now we see in Luke 14, notice with me verse number 23. And we could read the whole account here, but let's just read 23. It says, "And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper." We know here that some were bidden and they wound up making excuses, didn't they? Business cares, worldly cares. My wife won't let me. I've got to go, you know, check out this piece of land I bought. Check out my animals. All those things that we're familiar with that the Scripture tells us here. Of the excuses that was made. How his master said, okay, go out into the streets. Go out into the lanes. Go out into the cities. And then the verse we just read where he says, hey, go out to the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. You see, today I believe Not only does the Lord lift it up on the cross of Calvary, and that's necessary for salvation, not only was He lifted up from the earth, from the tomb, if you will, the crypt this morning, if you will, so that we might be saved. That's necessary for salvation. But I believe thirdly this morning, that He must be lifted up by our cry if souls are to be saved. He must be lifted up by our cry this morning if souls are to be saved. He must be lifted up by, to use the words of Scripture here, our compelling, if souls are to be saved. That word compel has a lot of different things we could get into, but He's simply talking about the fact of begging, of pleading with one, to take, compelling them to come, if you will. Taking them by the hand, even. You think about the fact today that if a soul is to be saved, yes, the Lord is the only one that can save anybody. Amen? I'm not saying anything different than that this morning. Y'all know better than that. But the Lord's the only one that can save anybody. I can't save anybody. You can't save anybody. If anybody ever says, well, I got so-and-so saved, well, you might have led them to the Lord and they got saved. But if you saved them, they didn't get saved. Amen? Or that ain't going to stick, because one day when they get to the end of this life and they look up at the Lord and say, well, Gerald got me saved, the Lord's going to say, that don't work. Amen? The only way is by the Lord. Amen? And Him being lifted up, not by lifting up me. You think about the fact today that we need to lift Christ up. Amen? We need to lift up the fact in front of others that He did die on the cross of Calvary. We need to lift up the fact that He was lifted up between heaven and earth for them. We need to lift up the cross that they might see the cross, that they might see where the place where Jesus died on Calvary's hill, that they might see the blood that He shed for them so that they might be saved. If a soul's to be saved, we must compel them by lifting up the cross of Calvary. If a soul's to be saved, we must tell them and compel them by lifting up the fact that Jesus rose from the grave. Amen? He's not in the tomb. Amen? He's not there any longer. Amen? He was only there for those 3 days. He's not there any longer. You go by the tomb of all these other religious leaders, if you will, and their graves, their bones are still there. And people go there and they worship their bones and worship the fact that they're still there. And yes, people do today, and I'd love to go someday. Probably will never happen, but I'd be afraid to a point. But go to the place where Jesus, that empty tomb, and look inside and see that there's nothing there. And some people do go there and worship, if you will, that to a point. But may I say today that there's nothing there to worship because He is not there. Amen? He's not there. He just borrowed that tomb just for a few days. Amen? He's gone. And you and I today, we need to lift up the fact that Christ is gone, that He's risen from the dead, that He was lifted up from the earth, that He was lifted up from the cross of Calvary. Amen? That He was lifted up today. You think about the Lord said, go into those highways and hedges that my house may be filled. If we want to see God's house filled today, we need to lift Him up. Amen? We need to lift Him up. I seen Brother, I'm going to go ahead and say it anyway. I seen Brother Jerry Ware the other day in Walmart. And he brought out a good point to me, and I'm not going to say everything he said, but he made one point that was really good as we were talking. And everything he said was good, by the way. But he made one good point as we was talking. He said this. He said, you know, he said, I like to see them people get into church that don't come from another church. He said, I like to see them get in church that's just gotten saved. Amen. Right. Good. He said, those that you find that are lost, that are not saved, they get in church and they get saved, or they get saved and get in church, he said, and they're just looking to serve the Lord. He said, those are the kinds that stay. And I'm thinking about, you know what? That's what he's saying here about compelling them to come in. Amen? Lifting up the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ so that the lost might see Him. Lifting up the resurrection, the fact that He rose from the grave. Amen? So that others might see Him, so that they might be saved. And compelling them, and then they'll come into the house of the Lord. Amen? But we've got to go where they are. Amen? There's one of the most powerful songs I've ever heard, and I've heard a lot of them that I like a lot. But one of the most powerful songs I've ever heard, and I played it here a good while back, it talks about you got to go where they are when they won't come to you. Because some people will never come to church, the song says, no matter what you do. They'll never come no matter what you do. You can have a big meal and say free food out front. Some people will come, but some people won't. Amen? You can take and say free toys at Christmas time, and some people will come, and some people won't. Amen? You can take and have Easter egg hunts, and I'm not necessarily against none of that, but some people will come and what? Some people won't. You can have singings. You can have whatever you want to have. And some people will come and some people won't. And all those things are good and well in their place. But some people, we've got to go where they are. Amen. We've got to go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. You say, where's the highways and hedges? Everywhere. Amen. I thought about, I was watching, I think it was this past week, me and David watched one day Mr. Rogers just a little bit on TV, on the PBS app thing on the Roku. And we was watching Mr. Rogers just a little bit, and he sings the song always when he comes on and tossing his shoe back and forth. And I ever wondered when he tossed that shoe back and forth if he missed one day and they had to take two, you know, because he missed the shoe when he threw it across to the other hand. I thought about that. But anyway, or the sweater got caught on the hanger and take two, you know, and had to do that again. But after a while, I'm sure he had it down. But as he was singing that song about, won't you be my neighbor? And I thought about, again, what the Bible says about who our neighbor is. Amen. About what Jesus said. Amen. And who our neighbors is, everybody that's around us. Amen. And as I listened to that song, I couldn't help but think about, as I sit there and listen to it, the fact of how, amen, everybody is our neighbor. Amen. And you think about how the fact that we ought to share the gospel with those that the Lord places around us, whether it be at the store, the gas station, whether it be at work, wherever it may be, we ought to share the gospel and lift up Christ to those that are lost. And I think about another verse of Scripture, Luke chapter 19. This is the last verse we'll look at this morning. Luke 19 and verse number 40. It's amazing the way the Lord brings different things across your path. And there's a lot of different things the Lord brought across my path to put all this sermon together this morning, the last couple of weeks. Luke 19 and verse 40. We said this morning, first off, that if the Lord's to be lifted up, if a person's to be saved, he had to be lifted up on the cross. If a person's to be saved, the Lord has to be lifted up from that tomb. But thirdly, we said that if a person's to be saved, he needs to be lifted up by our compelling, or I use this word too, our crying. Because you think about today, we need to share the gospel. I said we. We all need to share the gospel more. We all need to be witnesses more. And the Lord reminded me of this verse the other day. Luke 19 and verse 40. It says, "And he answered and said unto them, I tell you," this is Jesus again, "that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately," what? "Cry out." And I thought about that verse. I went over here the other day, and I don't know nothing about Neil. He's here. He can testify better than I can. And most of y'all in here can testify better than I can to this. But I went the other day, and at Neil's recommendation, I needed to get, well, I need to get my lawnmower fixed. And because of Neil's recommendation, I took it across the road to Sam's over here that has Neil's name on the sign. And I went in there, dropped my lawnmower off. And he told me it's going to take 2 weeks to get it done. Thankfully, less than a week later, he called me back. Went and got the lawnmower and seems to be doing pretty good. When I went to pick up my lawnmower, as I was standing there at the counter, I looked over as I was paying the bill. I looked over and there on the counter, he had a rock on his counter. Some of y'all may have seen this. You've been in there. You may not have. I don't know how long it's been there. I have no earthly clue. But it had a rock. And the rock was probably about yay big, maybe a teeny bit smaller. But about yay big, and it was flat across the top. And he had written on that rock part of the words to this verse. And on that rock, it said, and he kind of reworded a little bit, I'm assuming, or either come from another version. But it said this, and I'm not quoting exact, but this is very close. It said, "Hold your peace, and I will cry out." And it had the Bible reference at the bottom. And I got thinking about that thing. I don't know nothing about the man. But I got thinking about the rock. And when the Lord brought these verses to my heart and my mind this week, I thought, you know, that if we don't lift up the Lord Jesus Christ, the rocks will cry out. And that spoke to me on a couple of different levels. Number one, it spoke to me on the level of the fact that that if the rocks cried, well, first off, I don't want a rock crying out for me, do you? But if that rock cried out for me, that rock can't save nobody. I can't save nobody. But that rock can't tell them, hey, Jesus died on the cross and He was lifted up for you. That rock don't tell them that, does it? You can look at that rock and it doesn't tell people that Jesus was lifted up from the earth, that He rose from the grave. You can go out and that rock can't do that. It can't tell them Jesus was lifted up from the grave, and that Bible said that if He was lifted up, He'd draw all men unto Him. That's what the second verse said we looked at. But if they do look at that rock, it'll tell them what? If they really think about it close enough, it does cry out the fact there is a Creator. There is a God that created this earth. But if that's all a person knows, okay, did He die? Okay, He created it. Did He leave everything alone like it was? You see, that's why there's more that has to be lifted up. And that comes from the compelling and the crying from me and you that the Lord was lifted up on the cross. That the Lord was lifted up from the tomb. The one that created that rock. That one that created this earth. You think about the fact today we've got to lift Him up. If we don't, yes, the rocks will cry out. And all the other creation will cry out saying, praise God, there's a God. Look at the God that's in control that's done all these things. But that'll never save one soul if we don't cry out to. And I thought about that and it spoke to me of the fact that it was good Jesus was lifted up from the cross. But if that lost person down the road don't never hear about it, if you allow me to say this respectfully, I don't know how else to say it, but does that do them really any good if they don't know? If that lost person down the road doesn't have the Lord lifted up and they don't know that Jesus did die and He didn't just die and He didn't just stay in the ground like everybody else in the world. If they don't know that He rose from the grave, that He is alive, there's something different when it comes to this man Jesus, this Son of Man, this Messiah, that He wasn't just another man. If they don't know that, then that person can't be saved. They don't know. You see, today, folks, creation can testify, and it does. And lots of other things that we could get into testifies, and it does. But when it comes to sharing the gospel message and lifting up the fact that the Lord died on the cross and lifting up the fact that Jesus rose from the grave, who and what does God use? People sharing what? His Word. Amen. That's what He uses. And today, you see, for people to be saved, He had to be lifted up on the cross. For people to be saved, He had to be lifted up from the earth, from the tomb. And today, for people to be saved, we've got to lift Him up high so that others might be compelled and come to the cross and come to Him and be saved. Today, I ask me and you a simple question. Are we and will we raise Him up? Are we raising Him up and will we raise Him up in our lives? Will we raise Him up? Or instead, will we, if you will, let it be just a part of history? Let it be something that's there and not share and tell with others what Jesus did. May I say today that we need to more often share the message and lift Him up. The Lord lifted Him up on the cross. He lifted Himself up from that tomb. Now today the question is, will we lift Him up on this Easter resurrection morning? Will we lift Him up? He's been lifted up from the earth by His Father. Ask us today, will we lift up our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? Have we been raising Him up? Have we been sharing His name? Have we been sharing the gospel with others? Or instead, are the rocks the only thing that's crying out around us? Are the rocks crying out for me? Are the rocks crying out for you? I think about today, I sure don't want them rocks crying out for me. Because they can't get the job done. They can't get the job done. I can't do the job either. But the Lord can use me to do the job. He can use me that somebody might be saved. And He wants to use you this morning too. This morning, I don't want a rock crying out for me. I want the Lord. I want to share the gospel, and I want to lift Him up. And I hope and trust this morning that you do too. You say, why is all this laid out up here this morning? Why did you do all that? It wasn't just to make you wonder what I was doing. I promise you. But I picked this track on purpose this morning. Because I close with a challenge to myself and to each of y'all, and I've got some in my pocket. Well, I had them. They're right here. But I close with a challenge to each of us. The title of this track is, If Not Today, When? And it talks about the fact that if you're not going to accept the Lord today and you're going to put it off to tomorrow, if you ain't going to get saved today, when you going to get saved? Well, if you allow me to twist this just for a second, the reason why I picked this morning was not that, but the fact of this, if we don't start lifting up the Lord today, then when? When? If we don't start passing out tracts today, then when? If we don't start lifting Him up and being a better witness, when? When? Because one day, we're going to be in the grave, and it'll be too late then. Today, I want to encourage each one of us, and I want to make a challenge this morning. I usually don't do it quite this way, but I want to issue a challenge to you this morning. If you don't want to, it's fine. It's up to you. But I just feel led this morning that if you would like to, and I know some of you can't kneel, and I'm not asking you to do that. If you can't, don't get down here and get stuck and hurt yourself. Amen. Don't do that. But the Lord knows. And I'll lay one right here if you can't kneel down and you don't want to. But I want to challenge all of us this morning the fact that we need to lift Him up more. Amen. And first off today, maybe you'd like to come and just kneel around the altar and just say, Lord, thank You for being lifted up on the cross and being lifted up from the grave so that I could be saved. And thank You for that person in my life, and maybe name their name or a couple of people's, that lifted You up to me so that I could know about salvation. And then, Lord, by Your grace and with Your help, help me to do better in lifting You up. Even if it's nothing else, when I get done pumping gas, and everybody in this room pumps gas, everybody, at some point or another, when you get done pumping gas, you take that track and you put it up at the gas pump. If nothing else. And you know what? You don't never have to say a word to another soul. But you know what you're doing? You're lifting Him up. Every time you put that track up there on that gas pump, what are you doing? You're lifting Him up. Every time you leave one wherever it may be, or you hand one to somebody and talk to them about the Lord, you're lifting Him up. Today I want to encourage and challenge each one of us. Let's start lifting Him up more and compelling them in the highways and the hedges that God's house may be filled, as Jesus said in the verses today. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank You for all that You've done this morning. Dear Lord, I pray that You'd help me, dear Lord, to lift You up more. Thank You, dear Lord, for shedding Your blood and being lifted up on the cross. Thank You, dear Lord, that 3 days later You were lifted up from that tomb, victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And thank You, dear Lord, for the day that You was lifted up to me by my pastor, Sunday school teacher, but most of all, my parents too. And that Your Holy Spirit convicted my heart and showed me the need to be saved and the truth of salvation. And dear Lord, because You were lifted up, dear Lord, I place my trust in You. And dear Father, I pray this morning that You would help me and help every one of us in the building. Dear Lord, I trust this message and these thoughts have been more than just for me this morning. I have a hard time believing that. And dear Father, I pray for those that it was meant for this morning other than just me. I pray that You'd help them today as well to lift You up more and help us to be more thankful for Your lifting up that day on Calvary, on the Resurrection Sunday, Dear Lord, that You rose from the grave. And dear Father, also, that dear Lord, that resurrection we're looking forward to one day. And You'd help us until that day that we're called home to lift You up so that others might be saved. Help us now in Jesus' name. Amen.